You are about to hear Toward a Psychology of Being by Abraham Maslow, narrated by John Klickman. Part 1, A Larger Jurisdiction for Psychology. Chapter 1, Introduction, Toward a Psychology of Health. There is now emerging over the horizon a new conception of human sickness and of human health. A psychology that I find so thrilling and so full of wonderful possibilities that I yield to the temptation to present it publicly even before it is checked and confirmed and before it can be called reliable scientific knowledge. The basic assumptions of this point of view are, 1, we have, each of us, an essential biologically based inner nature, which is to some degree natural, intrinsic, given, and in a certain limited sense, unchangeable or at least unchanging. 2, each person's inner nature is in part unique to himself and in part species-wide. 3, it is possible to study this inner nature scientifically and to discover what it is like, not invent, discover. 4, this inner nature, as much as we know of it so far, seems not to be intrinsically evil, but rather either neutral or positively good. What we call evil behavior appears most often to be a secondary reaction to frustration of this intrinsic nature. 5. Since this inner nature is good or neutral rather than bad, it is best to bring it out and to encourage it rather than to suppress it. If it is permitted to guide our life, we grow healthy, fruitful, and happy. 6. If this essential core of the person is denied or suppressed, he gets sick sometimes in obvious ways, sometimes in subtle ways, sometimes immediately, sometimes later. 7. This inner nature is not strong and overpowering and unmistakable like the instincts of animals. It is weak and delicate and subtle and easily overcome by habit, cultural pressure, and wrong attitudes toward it. 8. Even though weak, it rarely disappears in the normal person, perhaps not even in the sick person. Even though denied, it persists underground forever, pressing for actualization. 9. Somehow, these conclusions must all be articulated with the necessity of discipline, deprivation, frustration, pain, and tragedy. To the extent that these experiences reveal and foster and fulfill our inner nature, to that extent they are desirable experiences. Observe that if these assumptions are proven true, they promise a scientific ethics, a natural value system, a court of ultimate appeal for the determination of good and bad, of right and wrong. The more we learn about man's natural tendencies, the easier it will be to tell him how to be good, how to be happy, how to be fruitful, how to respect himself, how to love, how to fulfill his highest potentialities. This amounts to automatic solution of many of the personality problems of the future. The thing to do seems to be to find out what you are really like inside, deep down, as a member of the human species and as a particular individual. The study of such healthy people can teach us much about our own mistakes, our shortcomings, the proper directions in which to grow. Every age but ours has had its model, its ideal. All of these have been given up by our culture. The saint, the hero, the gentleman, the knight, the mystic. About all we have left is the well-adjusted man without problems, a very pale and doubtful substitute. Perhaps we shall soon be able to use as our guide and model the fully growing and self-fulfilling human being, the one in whom all his potentialities are coming to full development, the one whose inner nature expresses itself freely rather than being warped, suppressed, or denied. The serious thing for each person to recognize vividly and poignantly, each for himself, is that every falling away from species virtue, every crime against one's own nature, every evil act, every one without exception, records itself in our unconscious and makes us despise ourselves. Karen Horney had a good...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?